everybody, it's Jeff Peterson, and this is the Interstate of Music Podcast. And today, my guest in studio is Austin Giorgio, who I know this is going to sound creeper.
This is going to sound creeper of me,
and I'm going to put it out there before y'all say it for me and give me those hate messages. But I've been stalking
Austin. This has been great. Yeah,
I've literally been watching a little bit about this Austin Giorgio fella since he was on The Voice, and then he got into this whole social world and started kind of taking off with his music. And I've loved your style of music from The Voice. I love that whole. I know you did the whole kind of crooner style.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was your vibe coming out.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, as you've kind of evolved as an artist and kind of tweaked and this and that, you've kind of taken on a whole different, you know, vibe.
Yeah.
You know, it's still part of you.
Yeah.
But I've kind of followed you, and you've got some tunes that I'm just like, I was all about. So I did the little messages here and there, and sometimes you'd message back because you're just a nice guy type of thing. But that's how you're sitting in front of me. I mean, like, legitimately, I finally got you to realize I legit wanted to, like, connect with you for your music and what you're putting out there. So welcome to the podcast, man.
Jeff! Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's so good. So, number one, like, did you always kind of think, like, music was what you're going to be doing? Because you're not an old guy right now.
Right.
Like, you're 20s.
Right. Well, we talked about earlier is that...
Because I hate to say, way back when you were younger, it's like, you're young. You
right.
know?
I think when I was in high school, I wanted to, like, run an antique store and bicycle store.
Okay, so antique bicycles or...
So antiques and bicycles. I wanted to sell... I wanted you to come in to buy a Trek, and you're leaving with a mid-century whatever it is. I don't know why. That was, like, my fascination.
So, why antiques? Were you always hanging around at your grandparents' house, and they had old furniture, and you thought it was cool?
I was around the dust. I think it goes back to my father, because he's a singer as well and an antique dealer. So there we go.
Now it's not as weird.
Right. So I used to go to flea markets, and
flea markets are cool.
Yeah. Oh. That is the best place to, like, people watch of all time.
That and Walmart.
All time.
Sorry, Walmart. I'm not getting sponsored by Walmart. Great. Way to go, Peterson.
Caught it.
Fantastic. Screwing one of,
yeah, we're gonna just take it down.
One of the hardest possible sponsorships ever.
Take this down.
But yeah, you know what you are. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, you know what? It's the best place to watch. So anyways, that's how I fell in love with antiques, going to flea markets. I've always loved stories. Like, when you go to a booth in a flea market, like, okay, this Hummel, I don't even know if you know what that is, but, like, this Hummel's cool.
Yeah, I do know what Hummels are. I literally, this is what's, okay, Hummel story for Peterson. Hold on.
There
Wait, I have a painting, a Hummel painting.
Oh, no way.
That is, like, worth, like, $600 that I, like, literally snagged when a company that I was working for, we were moving out of a building.
Yeah.
And there was, like, I'm like, so what about this art that's up on the walls? They're like, if you want to take it. And I'm like, that's a Hummel, like, thing. I don't know if it's worth anything. So I'm like, I'm taking this fucking thing. So I took it, and then I looked it up, and I was like, it's worth, like, $600.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So that's my Hummel story. I mean, not a lot of people have Hummel stories.
So
I have one.
You're stalking, you're stealing.
And I
So I'm we need Hummel one
lover.
More. We need one more. Three strikes.
Run more creepy but, thing.
What the hell is that going on? I can't remember that.
So you're talking about the stories.
Oh, yeah.
The Hummel.
Like you said, but see, it's got a story now.
Yeah, right.
So I always loved the story. Like, And I learned that even when I would sell antiques, is like, if somebody's got doesn't have a story, it's just a thing. Like,
totally.
At the end of the day, the most important thing are relationships and the memories you make in life.
Right.
Which is where the story comes in of, like, oh, well, this was actually X, Y, Z, X, or Z. At the end of the day, now it's like, okay, this is great. I want this for that piece of it.
Correct.
So where I'm going with this is I fell in love with music.
So do you watch American Pickers then?
I used to love American Pickers. They actually went to some of our friends' house a couple times.
Really?
Yeah. Which is funny, but
were your friends hoarders? You can't say it. Right?
No, I'd say they were definitely hoarders. Like, it's one of those places where you walk in and there's just shit everywhere. I mean, everywhere.
And you're like, I wonder if that's worth money. I wonder if that's worth money. That's gotta be.
Even
worth
the
money.
Dead rats in the bed are worth money, like, at this point. Yeah, they're so old. Like, they're
right,
like, it's prehistoric.
Yeah.
But so that's what led me to singing. Is my dad would also sing. He in a jazz band.
Okay.
So after flea markets and stuff, the next night
is that where the crooner aspect started coming in? Okay.
Yeah. So. I would go and sing with him maybe one song, two songs, and that was it.
And how old were you at this time-ish?
Maybe 16, 17.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and then come 2017, I was going down to Philly because I wanted to run up to Philly statue to Rocky.
Okay, so Rocky, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Voice was in that city. So at this time, wait, I'm missing something. I need to rewind.
Tell me your story.
I need to rewind.
So should we go back to the Hummel?
Nope. So in between the flea markets and the Voice, what happened was I started a little company called Bike Life, and it was all about bicycles and like
and life
and weird
with bicycles.
Yeah, it's the corniest shit, but it was about like the lifestyle of cycling.
Was it like, did you put it out on like social media, like
social media,
fan page type of thing,
exactly.
That kind of thing? Okay.
So I was doing antiques. I was selling antiques, and I was selling bicycle stuff. That was my passion project, selling all these little inventions I made for bikes. That led me to singing.
I'm getting back to an invention you made for bike. Go, but I'll remember that. Wait, go.
Don't. Are you going to forget it?
No, I won't forget
it. Don't forget it.
No, it's super important.
Okay, yeah, don't forget it. because I got on social media, I was never on social media. I hated it. Still do. And I was like...
Still do.
I really do.
Truth,
it's
right.
A different story, but... Yeah. My mom at the time was like, well, listen, you're on Facebook now and stuff, Bike Life, post some stuff for your grandma and your cousins and people. Like, I'm like, all right, like I know a couple of these tunes my dad sings.
Okay.
That happened, sang a couple songs, took off in my hometown. So I started like, oh, wow, maybe I could sing a little bit. Started singing, went down to Philly. That's when the Voice was there. It was like, oh my God, I should try for this. And it was like the organic.
Did you think you were a good singer?
No. I thought I was
good enough to try out and see what the experience was.
I thought I was good enough. You know, everyone's mom and dad is like,
right, yeah, don't listen.
You are great.
Yeah, we've seen all of them on American Idol, and it's like you have people that aren't your friends and family because they should not have told you to go on that show and embarrass yourself for the rest of your life.
Scary.
Yeah,
people don't have that.
Super bad.
Yeah. So so I went in there thinking this is gonna be fun. I'm gonna get a Philly cheesesteak, go up the Rocky statue, see Philly, and the Voice is gonna
thing.
Be fun.
It'll yeah,
be
it's fun.
Fun as hell to say. That turned into 7 months. But before we go any further than that, I really wanna know what this invention is. Because I'm gonna forget, and I think you're gonna forget.
What's the invention?
You told me.
You said you had bike inventions.
Yeah, you said you may have had one or something.
No, you said you claimed you had like these things for bikes.
Oh, I thought you said you had some crazy
invention. No, because you're trying to steal ideas. I know where you're going.
Yeah,
with this.
I was actually going to steal ideas.
Yeah, I know what you're doing here. Don't screw with me. I know what you're trying
someone
to do.
Someone writing this
down. You're like, this guy clearly has $600 that he could get from this Hummel picture, and we could put it into the thing, and then we go 50-50
exactly.
On some bike invention.
There's four mics in here. There'll be three when I
we can rewind. I know you said you had some bike inventions.
I did. Okay. Well, they're not. Those aren't really important, though.
No. Bullshit.
I thought you had one.
I want to know what you thought was an invention for a bike.
Okay. So the one main thing was just a fender that would roll up. So it was like, it was a fender that snapped and was magnetic. So that if you had a bike that like in cities,
if it was raining,
you're gonna stuff up your back.
Yeah, you get the
so this
skunk
thing
tail.
Just quickly unrolls and snaps, or it just
kind of like those bracelet, those snap bracelets.
Exactly,
concepts.
And it was cool. And you would know. I mean, starting something from grassroots is tough, especially as
it's expensive to get a prototype, to trademark it because you know somebody's going to steal it.
Yep.
All that stuff, and then to be honest with you, you know when it ends up being a terrible idea, sorry, man. I mean, I'm not saying it was a terrible idea. No, but that's true. It's funny. When I was a kid, I hated that shit. But I also hated what fenders looked like, which is what you're trying to solve by having it roll up so it'd still look like a cool bike instead of this big metal fender off the back.
Right. Yeah, so that was the idea. Honestly, I could have ran with it, but singing proved to be more something I enjoyed, and it was getting traction.
Yeah.
Like, I was throwing shit at the wall for Bike Life in so many directions. Like, I don't know why it's not working. I don't know why this isn't happening. Again, I'm horrible at social media at this time.
Sure, right.
So I'm like, I don't know if I'm not doing it right. And then singing just being so easy. Like, wow, people really...
I just stand there with the microphone and I do what I do.
It. And it wasn't... There was no artist behind me. It was just me singing other people's songs.
Yeah,
so I was like, wow, I don't know why this is working. It wasn't.
People have always liked cover bands, so I mean, they like to be able to sing with you.
Yeah. So it didn't hit me until the Voice when it was like, oh, I get it now. Like, it's one thing to sing other people's songs. Obviously, I now do my own music.
And right.
I'll still do songs that are meaningful to me,
right,
that I can feel the lyrics.
Because you like the story.
I'm not going to sing Sinatra's New York, New York anymore because I don't relate to that. Like, I love New York, but like, that's not me.
Right.
But I'll sing A Free Falling by Tom Petty because I relate to those lyrics and the story.
Love that.
So that was the progression of how I went from antiques, bicycles, to Facebook, to The Voice, to now doing this. It's weird.
Well, I mean, we could end the podcast. I mean, you told me your whole life story because you don't have much after this. No, just kidding. So
I'll be on the street corner begging for a buck. You see me?
Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone out on the street?
I've never busked, but I've been on the street, hired for restaurants to sing on the street. Sounds weird.
Okay, that's like Italian songs in front of an Italian restaurant?
Kind of like that. I'd be out on like the most busy area blasting, and it would
draw people in, and then somebody's out there saying, "Hey, try our tortellini."
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Okay.
Hey, $20, can you sing this? No.
That's fantastic. So you grew up where?
I grew up in Rochester, New York. So upstate, pretty much Canadian.
Okay. Like, yeah, it's up there.
Essentially, I'm like an hour and a half away from Canada.
Like 7 months of winter.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's awful. It's terrible. I mean, and Rochester's fine.
Right.
The weather is terrible.
The weather,
Rochester can't do anything about it. They're there. They can't move.
Stop. Can't negotiate.
They can't negotiate. Yeah. They can't like, oh, we're going to Florida for the winter.
Right.
And
right.
We'll come back Rochester during the summer when it's cool. So the whole, like, where do you live now? Why did you, like, how have you transformed out of that? Or do you still live in the Rochester area?
Yeah, so I still live in Rochester, moving to Nashville. The reason why I chose to live in Rochester is, A, if you've never been, have you ever been to Rochester?
I haven't.
Never. Yeah. I don't know why you would. Well, there are a lot of big things over there. Like,
name two.
Constellation Brands. Although that's not a place you go to, but they own Corona, Modelo, like giant companies. Kodak was there, Xerox.
Yeah, you're not touring their office
building. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not really.
So
it's more Buffalo.
No, Austin. No.
No, you're
not. Buffalo Wings.
Right,
like,
right.
So you go there. The Buffalo Bills, who actually finally have a quarterback, Josh Allen. So,
yeah,
I mean, there's that. Are you a Bills fan?
I'm not. I mean, well, I
what
should say
you?
That. I'm just a nobody fan. Like, I'll just watch and, like, if we're in a room and everyone is a Bills fan, I'm gonna hype the shit out of everyone. Like, here we go! But like, if everyone's a Miami fan, it's like,
I mean, a guy that's willing to sing in front of a restaurant for money is seriously going to go into Austin Giorgio, hype man. What you got? I'm your hype. It's like bike life. Hype it up,
exactly,
Austin Giorgio.
Bike life. But where are we going with that? Oh yeah, I still live in Rochester. Moving to Nashville now.
Okay.
Only because I have to. Otherwise, I could have always made Rochester work because it's not.
Why do you have to move to Nashville? I mean, I know the whole music, it's Music City.
Yeah.
It's where everything is. It's more convenient for your life instead of always having to fly down to Nashville to write music or connect with people, this and that. I get it's easier, but why do you say it like you have to? Like why do you feel like you have to?
Because with option at this stage.
Yep.
Option A of staying in Rochester and option B of being in Nashville are now two different things. Back then, it was I could pump out all my content, write all my songs, do everything. I've now exhausted this, whereas here, I've now made a lot of really close friendships.
Yep.
And we'll be able to go out to dinners more,
collaborate
more.
Yeah, just be.
If I would have left Rochester after The Voice and went to Nashville, it would have been a waste because there's nothing. I mean, sure, maybe something serendipity could have happened.
Sure,
but there wasn't enough traction. Whereas now, I have a lot of reasons.
You didn't create and brand yourself to a point right after The Voice like you have done now. You've kind of found yourself. You've found your brand.
Yeah.
You found your identity. You found your purpose. You found a direction of where you want to start to build upon, and that's where you're basically saying Nashville has more of those steps and opportunities versus Rochester now.
Right. Yep.
Nice. So what it like price wise, I don't know this. Rochester to Nashville, do you now have to have 7 roommates in Nashville versus where you live in Rochester? Like what is that, just the financial side of this move? Was it like a big scary oh shit, but I'm just going to have to do it back to ramen noodles?
Not ramen noodles. No,
hype man for ramen.
Yeah, ramen. No, it's actually, believe it or not, it's very similar. So like the idea is we want to rent, my fiance and I.
Yep.
We want to rent first.
Yep.
Get lay land, understand it. Even though I go all the time, I'm always going for writing. And if we go out every now and then, I don't explore, if that makes sense.
Right.
So we want.
And most
rent.
People, when they think Nashville, they think the strip on Broadway.
That's it.
You know, day drinking, listening to music all the time,
drunken mess.
Bachelorette parties all day, every day, and that's what they think Nashville is, and it's just fun because they're there for two nights, three days, fly back home,
getting hammered, going home.
Yeah, going home.
Yep.
Pedal Tavern, you know, all that crap.
That's it.
So, but you're when you're looking to live there. Not always be surrounded by that because that's a lot. So so rent first, and your rent you're saying is
it's the same. Like you could rent, something for I don't know if it's expensive for Harvest Watches, but I think it's reasonable. You can get like a one or two bedroom for $1,500-$1,600, which is a lot, but
You're not going to get less than that in a known city.
Yeah,
if you're in a known city, $1,500-$1,600 is. Where it is. I mean, if it's a lesser city, you're going to get a better deal, but you're also living in a city that doesn't have as many of those opportunities.
Of those things.
Especially for what you're doing with your career. I mean, if you're going to get into music, $1,500-$1,600 a month for rent is, I mean, it's reasonable. And two bedroom because the second bedroom would be for guests or studio?
Both. So it's going to be...
I'm just trying to figure out where I'm
going
to stay.
Yeah, exactly. We're going now. So it would be a guest bed, but primarily a studio. And then the idea is once we finally get our place, like we want to get somewhere that I can make a studio. Because my fiance is a nurse.
Okay.
So
which she's like job security anywhere in this country.
Oh, yeah. And especially Nashville is the number one industry.
Yeah.
I would have selfishly thought music, but it's not.
I would have too.
It's healthcare. So it's perfect for her.
Yep.
And then I'll have a like a camper for touring kept down there.
Okay.
So the place we found like a lot, that was a tough one to find a place that will let me keep one.
So here's the question for you this is going to go back to my creeping ways, but you're on social media and I'm trying to see what you're all about and stuff like that. I saw that you took like a van or a Sprinter van and kind of turned it into that what you're talking about?
No. So
did you get rid of that thing?
That was sold.
Because you were going to do that right before the pandemic kind of hit, right?
Exactly. So I built that, and it was built in January and February, and I took it down to my first show of the year in Florida, and while I was down there, they declared emergency shutdown, which actually led to some songs, which is ironic. But at that moment, about 2 months in, is when my close circles and team were like, hey, we don't think touring's going to come back till 2022.
Yeah.
So what it is, I'm thinking there's no sense in carrying this thing around.
No.
To sit.
Right.
So I put it online and it actually really sold quickly.
Well, because a lot of people, like the big market when the pandemic thing was like, oh, hotels, you can't. People started buying a lot of RVs, campers. Like
crazy.
They're like, well, if I can work remote, I'm going to start touring around the country and see some sites, which, man, I wish I thought of it that way or had a job to do it, because a lot of people experience things they'll never have that time frame to experience again.
To do that,
some people did it right. I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, get out of here.
You're right. I did it okay. We kind of got this interstate music.
We got all this.
We built this table. Murph did, at least. Shout out Nick Murphy.
Murph!
He's the hype man for Murph. All right. So The Voice, whose team were you on?
So I was on Blake. Shelton.
Who spun? Whose chair spun for you?
Blake and Kelly.
Why'd you pick Blake versus Kelly? Are you gonna piss one? Are you gonna piss Kelly off?
No, I would never.
Did you ever tell her?
I love Kelly. No, honestly, I don't think so.
Well, this is your chance. Here you go. Tell Kelly why you didn't pick her.
I've got a lot to say. Kelly actually is one of the most generous people I've ever met.
She seems that way.
Yeah, and the reason why I say that is so I chose Blake because at the time I was just on that show. I couldn't believe I even got on the show.
Did they give you a number of how many people actually for that season like tried out across all cities? Ever see that number?
I cannot remember the exact. It was big, like
3 billion. Let's call it 3 billion.
It was a good amount.
Yeah, it's a trillion.
Looking back now, I don't want it to come off like I can't believe it. Like I genuinely was like, these people are art. Like, the people I was in line with.
You were not were then artists. What you are now. Yeah. So let's just face it. Like, let's look back and go, like, you went to Philly to go up the stairs like Rocky.
Yeah.
and you ended up singing right. for this, like, show as almost a tourist attraction experience. Yeah. So, yeah, it was, like, crazy.
Yeah, it blew my mind. And Kelly, the reason why I chose Blake is I knew that Blake loved Dean Martin, which is, I grew up, so I'm like, oh, he's going to let me sing. And I know Kelly's going to make me sing pop music, and I don't want to sing pop music. Ironic.
Right.
Because now the whole, and she's told me that before, and like, after the show, I went with some of my friends and Bryn Cartelli, who's on our season.
Yep.
We were with Kelly Clarkson behind backstage with her.
Yeah.
And it was just like a reassurance of like, oh my God, this whole time, here's the hard-headedness of, like, you think one thing
yes.
when the answer's in front of you the whole time.
Right.
So yeah. that's where I say Kelly really helped me.
So
even though she was my coach.
So how was it? Is Blake – I think Blake's probably the same guy on camera as he is off
same
camera.
Guy.
I mean, that dude – I want to have a beer with Blake Shelton, like, which would turn into 12.
Yeah.
You know?
Which would lead to, like
yeah, everything. Bloody Mary's the next morning, the whole thing. So – What it boils down to is you're on Blake's team. How far did you get in that whole voice thing?
It was the
I haven't stalked you too deep.
Yeah, no, I get it. Or you're lying. We don't know.
I'm not lying. I don't lie.
Yeah, I don't know. Stole.
Yeah, I knew about the van, the creeper van down by the river.
It was the live. So I think it was the top 20, I believe, and then it goes down to the 10, and then it's 5, like it quickly goes down.
Yeah.
So I went to the end. Obviously, I went to the end because of the music, but I genuinely think that maybe people enjoyed my voice and the charisma.
What do you mean you went to the end because of the music? What are you talking?
Meaning, like, when you watch these shows, like, it's because of the artist.
I watched those shows.
I know. I never really did, be honest with you. Like, I watched American Idol. Back when they used to do
when Kelly
had a bad day, taking one, they made you sing that song when you left, which I always thought was horrible. So like I always like, oh, they like the music, they like that I'm dancing around on stage, like, maybe that's why people like it. So to make it that far, that's when it really like clicked, like, what am I doing? Like, why am I not
right
taking this more serious?
Yeah,
so that's like kind of when that happened.
And so when you like didn't end up going further.
Right.
Were you like all of a sudden, hey, wait a second, I just started to realize this was the thing for me. I want to keep doing it. You just told me I can't anymore because I didn't get voted. What did that feel like when all of a sudden it just like stopped?
It never did for me, to be honest with you, because it was the beginning. Like, since being on The Voice,
yeah.
American Idol, America's Got Talent, The Voice have asked me to be back on, and I'm sure they do it to others. I have close friends, the same thing. But once you get on these shows, you don't need to go back on. Like you've created.
Well, you shouldn't have to.
Yeah, you've created who you are. You kind of, they say like you get frozen in the time of when people first see you.
Yep.
So you kind of do that once, and ever since The Voice, the moment I left The Voice, my bike life, business, antique brain went to my like, okay, what do artists do? How do I become an artist? How do I become the people that I used to like listening to?
Right.
Did a lot of homework in about 2 months of time. And obviously on The Voice, I learned a
sure,
lot.
Sure, right.
So I immediately started putting my money where my mouth is. And I'm like, all right, I think this is how artists make concerts. So I put down like $16,000 of my own money, rented a theater, hired a bunch of people and said, I want to put on a concert for myself. I don't know how to do it, but I want to try. And that concert sold out, which then told me, okay, I can do this. And that's what helped me.
What venue did you rent out?
So this was in Rochester.
Okay.
And it was called Jiva Theater. And it was...
Was it an old theater? Or?
No, new. It was really nice. And you'll understand.
How much did it cost to rent it out?
It was expensive. Like 16... I spent 16... Well, in this business,
the
you know,
whole
back
thing,
end.
The whole
end,
thing of it was 16 grand for that event for you.
I think it was more than that. I think I had to put down between marketing spend...
All of it.
Hiring...
What did you charge for tickets?
They were from, oof.
Did you make money?
Oh, yeah.
You made money.
I did, which told me, okay, I can actually make a living doing this. If I didn't, I'd be like, all right, I don't want to become a starving artist. I can do this on the side.
I want to do this just to sing and break even.
I can do this on the, right. I can do this on the side. I can do something else. I think it was like $35 or $55, $35 to $50, depending on like where it was.
Good for you, man. But, I mean, hometown, smart.
Right.
To start there.
It was
and build the hype.
It was the safest bet to see.
Yeah, right.
Would anyone care to see?
Right.
And by the time I got to the concert, I was just getting into who I was becoming.
Sure.
And then obviously now I'm even way different than then.
Totally.
All of us are. We all
right,
change.
For sure.
So I think that was when I did my first concert, that's when it clicked. And that's when I met my manager after it. And that's when social media started rolling,
yep.
Started booking. And it just becomes a machine. You just start.
Is there ever a time where you could like jump on the phone and text Blake Shelton and say, question for you, man. It makes people think and feel that, you know what right. I mean? Is that a thing?
It is. You know, I get that question a lot. So it is, but it isn't. Like, I have Blake's email.
Yeah.
And I could email him.
You just don't want to be that person if it's not legitimately something.
If it's not something important. If it's something that's like,
hey, buddy, just trying to stay connected. It's
yeah,
not that.
Yeah. If I saw Blake the next time I'm in Nashville, I've seen him. Like,
yeah,
it would
right.
be like, hey, how are you? Things like that. But the only reason why I feel like I'd ever reach out is if there's something that would make sense and it would be something he'd be interested in.
Right.
Genuinely. Not like, hey, I need your help on this. It'd be like, because
he gets that from everybody.
Yeah, and be honest with you, like, it's more about your own hustle. Because, like, through yourself, I mean, people can pull strings.
Yep.
But you can do a much better job by you doing it.
Yep.
Not by yourself, but like you reaching out and you starting your network. You're starting your story.
I totally agree with that. And I do think, you know, those people that have been successful in their own careers and especially in the celebrity side of life, because they're just getting grabbed and caught at from all directions. So, I mean, there is a shell that they have to, you know, kind of build out around them a little bit. And I think they probably respect. So if you saw Blake Shelton that, you know, in Nashville, he's going to look at you and be like, hey, Austin, what's up, man? Knowing you're never the guy that took advantage of the relationship that you had together. So he's even possibly going to come back to you sometime and say, hey, I got somebody you've got to meet versus you saying, hey, do you got anybody I can meet?
Maybe. I don't know.
And I think those are more real relationships, you know, and you've gone through some celebrity yourself. So you're starting to probably even feel it a little bit. What's it like to, I mean, you've got 32,000 subscribers on YouTube. You've got 450,000 followers on TikTok, 45,000 on Instagram.
Wow, look at you.
Facebook.
Buttering me up.
Yeah, but Facebook, you're shit in the bed.
I'm shit in the bed. Like, I could do better.
You can do better. Do better.
But, I need a hype man.
But you are at a level of social celebrity.
Mm.
Do you feel that way?
To
the outside world looking in, it looks like you are.
I would use I wouldn't use the word celebrity because I think celebrity has a really weird, at least I feel weird with that word.
Tell me what word it is.
I think recognition of the art. That might be a phrase. That might be stupid. No, but I mean, like,
if you walk into a bar in Nashville and somebody sees you and they recognize you from TikTok, it's not because of recognition of art. It's because you have a celebrity status on TikTok.
No, it is, but it isn't. Because when that happens, it's always a lot of times it'll happen afterwards or someone will DM me either on TikTok or somewhere. And every now and then I'll look on there and I'll see it. Or in person, I run into people, but it's always like, hey, you're awesome. You wrote She's an Actor. Like, I love that song.
You're that Peter Pan song guy.
You wrote the song. Like, I love that song. And then it's like, you talk, whenever I think of celebrities, I think of that stupid, like, hey, you want to get a picture? Like, that's dumb.
I absolutely love this part of the conversation. That's why I wanted to kind of go dig deeper on it, because people look at things differently, and I love the way, because you're in it. It's your world you're living in, and I love your interpretation of what celebrity is and kind of the, I guess, the taboo of celebrity and the elevation of people into this status and the, you know, right. Oh my gosh, they're not approachable and all this kind of stuff. So I love the way you kind of break it down personally, because I think that's what makes you who you are. I mean, you're extremely authentic, extremely real and genuine. And it, you know, the first time we started to kind of chat and talk about having you come out here to Interstate Music, you've been so gracious through the whole thing. And that's, it's common in a, with some people, the people that I'm going to want to deal with, it's common with, because if you're an asshole, we don't talk long. Yeah, there is. I mean, because honestly, it's not about that. So, it's been cool to see where you've come. What's been the most fun about what you've kind of turned into as far as yourself, your music and everything? What's been the most fun? What's also been the part that you've just been like, I'm over it?
I would definitely say the most enjoyable part would be what we were just talking about, which is when you write a song, when you make anything, once you put it out there, it's out there. Like, even though it's yours, it's not yours anymore. It's how other people interpret it.
Yep.
And view it.
Right.
And I think the most enjoyable thing is after live shows, or every now and then I'll read comments and just kind of see what, because you can't get caught up in that either.
Because haters gonna hate.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, that's just, it is what it is. But I think seeing how people connect with things, getting back to what we were just saying, like for instance, I'll never forget, and this is the stuff that people don't even understand, and I never understood this. That like when you put something out there, depending on what it is, I've had letters, like, oh man, dude, it's sad. It's just like people like get into what they're going through, and when they're kids, oh dude,
the connection. You know, it's crazy, because you know, I said this on a thing, I just had a guest on another show I do. Engagement. I did a video that I'll post at some point on LinkedIn, whatever. But I did it about engagement and the what engagement really is. And it's not just about a whole bunch of people just clicking the like button and people being like, oh, my post got 47 likes. Oh my gosh, that's super exciting.
Right.
It's the interaction. It's the engagement. It's the connection. It's what you're doing means to somebody else, and for you to be able to see what that meaning is to that person about what of something that you did, which is powerful. And so when you're getting these letters, and I mean about what musics and lyrics that connected to them, going through great times, bad times, terrible times, I mean, that's also a lot of weight.
I was very much not ready for it when it first happened, because there's things you wouldn't see from the outside, and meaning like you'll be in bed and just like scrolling through messages, and all of a sudden you get this. I get a lot of letters, but also messages, and it'll be talking about like something like this happened many times where it's, hey, I just want to let you know, like I was going through this and this. I actually almost killed myself. Oh, dude.
No, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like you hear it's like,
yeah.
And here I am in my bed.
Right.
And this person's living like that. So it's like, it's just, that is what I enjoy knowing. That like someone's benefiting from it.
Dude,
I don't mean to cry.
No, dude, that's who you are though. That's why I've getting to know you, when I talk about how genuine you are and how caring, that's what you're talking about is exactly why. Because, but the people don't get, sometimes I think what the weight is of going through your career as a, you know, writing your own music. Is it hard now sometimes when you're writing a song, are you reading every word and you're like, are you more cautious about what you're putting out there because you're like, oh shoot, somebody might read this way or that way. I don't want to live on that razor's edge of what the dual meaning could be taken, because what if somebody is in a place because it's obviously so emotionally impactful of what it means when you get those positive, like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that song meant something to one single person, that it helped them through something.
Right.
Has that affected how you write music in a way of you like maybe overthinking some of the music that you write?
Yeah, I think it depends on the song too. Like if it's a lighthearted song, or depend on the subject. Like, so a close friend of mine, Brent Morgan, who you should check out if you haven't, unbelievable songwriter, yep, and vocalist. Him and I, like, he writes similar songs to what I've written, with these heavy, some of them are heavy conversations, and yep, that's not always what I sing, nor do I always want that to be
right
the conversation. Those are the songs where, like, I remember She's an Actor, when I put it on TikTok, I don't even remember why I put it on there. I think I just melody and people connected with it. And when I finished the song, I was like, that's where I thought, like, is this going to do more harm than good? Is this going to reassure someone, like, wow, I am an actor, I am not well, and put them deeper in a box? I did not want that to happen.
Right, right.
And after I put out a couple more videos on TikTok to test out parts of it, I would read a bunch of comments, and a lot of them were like, this is what I go through, this go, glad to know I'm not alone, I'm reading these other comments. So I was like, okay, I can't connect to this,
right?
But I'm now seeing that, you know, and you'll click people's profile and they are totally normal, like, they're normal to everyone, now, like, these friends don't know what this person's commenting,
right?
And you're like, okay, so this must be benefiting them,
right?
You know, so I mean,
so there is a little bit, yeah,
those songs, but like a song, like a love song, like, I,
you just putting it out there,
think too, is it he, she, or is it they, them? Like, I don't think everything's going to fit everyone's what they want.
No,
I can't consciously always think.
It's not your responsibility.
Yeah.
But I asked it just simply because when you go through something like that,
yeah,
it, and as touched as you get from that, you know, that burden, is that become a burden where it kind of makes you feel handcuffed on what you're putting down for words? And I love the way you've kind of taken it. Like, yeah, on songs that might be a little heavier, I might take a little bit more of a glance at it, so the verbiage is there. And neat how you kind of take a platform to throw some test lyrics out there a little bit. Kind of good way to do. I mean, I would have never thought of using it that way.
Mm-hmm. It's like a giant focus group.
Yours is giant.
I'm saying the platform, TikTok.
Yeah, but
it's building in public, really.
It really is. I mean, so what's your favorite platform? As far as the way where you feel like your creativity has the best chance of kind of like plopping it out there?
Honestly, none of them. Because TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, if I was my true, full, authentic self, I don't think I would even follow myself, because it would be stupid videos.
I'm unfollowing.
Of like the trees. And like,
I got your cell number, so I'll just text you. I'm unfollowing all your platforms. If you wouldn't follow yourself, I'll stop it.
Literally. So because TikTok and Instagram and social media, and I think this is the narrative for almost every artist I've met that is in it for music, it's just marketing. It's just, I have to go, I wrote this song for blah, blah, blah. And then in 3 seconds, you have to do this. And then by the seventh second, you got to think, well, people are going to maybe drop off, so I have to touch it. It takes away the creativity, I think.
The grind of the business side, the trying to monetize. You're using the social platforms to help monetize so that you can keep doing what your end goal is, and that is being a musician and singer-songwriter for not the social platforms.
Right. It would be like it's like you're combining roles that, even though they're similar, they shouldn't be. Like,
right,
marketing and sales are two different things.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel when you see an artist, how do I, the artist, give you something that I genuinely love and I want to, like, hope you make memories to it,
right?
And I have to do like these weird marketing gimmicks, and it takes away, I feel, when people say you sell out or something, I feel that is a sign. I was like, I don't want to sit in front of this camera and do this stupid thing, but I know your attention span, mass public, needs this to get it.
Right.
So you have to do it.
You do. And that's, I love that you're honest about it, because so many people would choose the, oh gosh, I don't want this to go out in social and have him act like he doesn't, you know, like doing it and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, you're doing it for a purpose. You're doing it for a reason. You know, you have fans that are out there, and you know the only way you can connect right now to a lot of your fans is through the social platforms. It's just the way the platforms are built make it have to be a certain way for the algorithms and for it to show up and all the rest of it. If you could find a platform where you could just connect to the fans in Austin authenticity, that's the platform you'd want to be on. It's just what platform is that?
I think
it's not a social platform.
I think they're all the same. I think if I could just give the song and I can remove myself from that process, I'll enjoy it more.
For sure.
To see the engagement. But like earlier, if this post has 50,000 likes and this one has 10,000 likes, like business-wise, great. We got free publicity more on this one. But at the end of the day, I don't really care. Like,
right.
I just hope the people that genuinely like the song are seeing this.
Right.
And that's the only way to get it to them.
Yeah. It's an interesting world where the music industry has gotten to.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? You moved to Nashville. What's next? Like, I mean, how much are you touring? I know from our show, you're heading down to Reno, I think.
Reno.
Like, how much are you playing out? What kind of tours? Are you collaborating on tours together? Are you doing them all solo? Like, what's going on with your touring, and how can people, like, find you and come see you live?
It's
the best way to find your schedules and...
Yeah, tour. It's going to be all online on my website, which would be austingiorgio.com.
Cool.
But it's touring's coming back now.
Yeah, right.
Now it's open. So a lot of these are fly-in dates, and then come spring, we're actually putting together a big tour with other artists that I love, that I just genuinely want to be on tour with.
Yep.
And
are they all ones that you've met through doing it the same way that you've
similar?
Gotten to,
yeah.
Okay.
Similar. Yeah, in the same way of mutual friends, or where I just love their voice and music, and I want to bring them on. And that will be in the spring, and that'll be around the album. So it'll be, let's just call it Austin and Friends for now.
Yeah.
You know, something where we can go on the road and then filling in festivals for summer and then shows in the fall.
Very cool. Do you love going out and playing live?
I love it. It's my favorite thing. If I can get off social media, I can. I love it.
That's awesome. So going to Nashville, you find your place, you're doing singer-songwriter stuff with people throughout the week,
right.
Writing music for yourself, writing music for other people,
mm-hmm.
and you're making ends meet. I mean,
keeping the lights on.
At this point, are you living the dream, or are you living the process?
Yeah, I think it's the process. I remember I had an older woman one time tell me, long ago when I first started, she's like, you know, I hope you make it big. And I remember thinking then of where I was, and I was like, I don't know what she meant by that. Cause like, I don't know if she thinks that I want to be on magazines and that's my end all, like, wow,
right.
I've made it. My made it is to sing live for a living, write songs.
Consistently.
And people enjoy them.
And not age out. Like, I mean, Tony Bennett. I mean,
right.
Like,
man, he's 94. He's singing right now.
Right now. He's like, put me on stage. Let's do this. I'll sing that same song I've sung for my whole life over and over again. But that is it. The longevity aspect of going out and playing in front of people.
Yeah.
That's what you wanted.
I'm living the dream through the journey, like you just said.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is all the fun stuff.
Yeah.
There are downtimes.
Yeah.
Like, obviously.
Yeah. Absolutely. But. So, I love your music.
I love you, dude.
Ah, dude.
Come on. I'm your hype man, Jeff.
You are.
Yeah.
I love you too, Austin. Oh my God, I didn't think I was gonna profess my love for you.
Wow.
So stalking.
It was a trap.
You're the one that sucked me into the love. What am I supposed to do? Like, leave you hanging on an I love you?
That's
I'm
it,
not
man.
That guy. I
wow,
love you back.
It.
Should I have said love you more? I mean, let's
say, guys. Happened today.
No, you
Get
hang
the
up.
Can.
No,
mark
you...
it down, everybody.
No, you hang up. No, you hang up. This is bringing me back to my high school days.
No, but seriously, thank you. Seriously, thank you for having me. And everything.
And I, you know, I'll say it, that it's something like my living the dream is legitimately connecting with people from all over the country that have something that they're passionate about And if I have any aspect of being a vehicle to let other people know that that person exists and what their passion is, that's what I really actually love doing. You know, it's like, we've got these businesses and all that kind of stuff. Sure, you know, we can make some money and we do things. And, you know, I've got a lot of years of experience and I'm good at some stuff I do, right? Mm-hmm. But legitimately, I want to be an aspect of what helps more people know about Austin Giorgio. And this podcast is not just about the music, because people are going to know you about the music. I love his songs. I love his music. I'm going to go see him live. But even the people that go and see you live aren't getting as much of a real chance to know who you are through a 60-second social clip.
Right.
So that's, yeah. I want to be a platform that people can come and be themselves and share. And you've done that. And I thank you. I thank you for doing it. I thank you for the time. I thank you for making the trip out. And I can't wait to see your show. And like, legitimately, you're like, you're going to be like coming back and forth here for like years and decades. And
I'm never
leaving. You're going to be my Tony Bennett.
I'm not leaving. I'm actually sleeping under this table.
Like, I will be in this room for every podcast.
I'll be under this table.
So Austin Giorgio, people, pay attention to him. If you don't know who he is, I don't know who you are. So it really comes to, let's face it. Like, more people know he exists than people know I exist. And then Jeff Peterson, come on, #. Nobody knows me.
Exactly.
So hashtag, you don't have to say exactly after
hashtag
that.
Hashtag exactly.
I don't know if that felt that was hurtful.
No, I didn't. Take it back.
No, seriously, Peterson. Nobody knows you. So this was the Interstate of Music podcast. That's Austin Giorgio. I'm Jeff Peterson. The #nobody knows. And I'll finish it off the way I always do. Peterson out.
Peace.